وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And recall when Allah took the covenant of the prophets. وَإِذْ meaning وَذْكُرْ إِذْ. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mention this to the people. And إِذْ has also been understood as that, O people of the scripture, O Ahlul Kitab, you should recall this. What? That when أَخَذَ اللَّهُ, when Allah took مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ, a covenant of the prophets. Meaning he took a covenant with the prophets. The word mithaq, as you know, is from the root letters wawthaqa, and wathaq is used for something that is very strong, and mithaq is a covenant, a pact, an agreement that is solemn. So mithaq al-nabiyyin, and al-nabiyyin is the plural of nabi. So Allah took the covenant of the prophets. What does it mean by this? This covenant is understood in two ways. That first of all, Allah took the mithaq with the prophets. And secondly, it has been said that Allah took the mithaq with the people about the prophets. So mithaq al-nabiyyin, the mithaq of the prophets, is first of all mithaq with the prophets, and secondly mithaq with the people about their prophets. So وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. What was the mithaq? لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ. Surely, whatever I give you. لَمَا is a combination of لَم meaning surely and مَا. لَمَا is understood in two ways. That first of all, surely whatever I give you مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ, of book or scripture. Meaning whatever book comes to you. Secondly, لَمَا is understood as surely whenever. So in the first case, ma gives the meaning of whatever, that which. And in the second case, ma is za'id, that is extra, giving the meaning of whenever. So لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ, whatever book I give you, or whenever I give you a book, meaning a scripture, وَحِكْمَةً and wisdom. What does hikmah refer to? The explanation of the kitab. So basically, when you have the scripture, you have the hikmah. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. Then a messenger comes to you. Which messenger? مُصَدِّقٌ, one who confirms, لِمَا مَعَكُمْ, for that which is with you. Another messenger comes, and he confirms that which is with you. What is it that you have? The book and hikmah, kitab and hikmah. And now another messenger comes, and he confirms that which is with you. How does he confirm that which is with you? In two ways. By calling what you have true. So for instance, Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah. Then came Isa alayhi salam afterwards, and he said that the Torah was true. So he was musaddiq for the Torah. And secondly, musaddiq in another way, that the messenger is in accordance to the description and detail that you have of him. So for instance, Isa alayhi salam came, and he told the people about the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he met all of those requirements, all of those descriptions. So musaddiq, meaning one who confirms for that which is with you. So whenever I give you the book and wisdom, and then a messenger comes to you, and this messenger confirms that which is with you, what are you going to do with the messenger? لَتُؤْمِنُنْ نَبِي. You are surely, definitely going to believe in him. وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ, and surely you will definitely help him. Meaning you must believe in him and you must help him. You must help who? The messenger. تُؤْمِنُنَّ is from iman, that you will certainly believe that what he has brought is true. And how are you going to help him? You're going to help the messenger. How? By helping his mission. By helping his mission. By assisting his mission. Remember that when a prophet of Allah, when he takes a promise, then his followers are understood in that promise as well. So in other words, the Prophet of Allah makes a mithaq on behalf of his nation. So if this covenant was taken by the prophets, that when the messenger comes, when the next messenger comes, you're supposed to believe in him and follow him, what are the followers supposed to do? That when the next messenger comes, they are also supposed to believe in him and follow him. They cannot say that, no, our prophet was only Musa, so we only believe in him and follow him. They cannot say our prophet was only Isa, so we only believe in him and follow him. No. All the people are required to believe in all of the prophets and help all of the prophets as well. Because every prophet did not bring a new scripture, but every prophet came with a mission. So for instance, Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, they didn't bring new scriptures, but they had a mission. And what was that mission? To revive the deen in the Bani Israel. So what were the people supposed to do? They were supposed to help the prophets in their mission. Now, over here, a mithaq has been mentioned. In the Quran, there are three mithaq that are mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from the people. The first mithaq is the Ahd al-Ast. The Ahd al-Ast. And this covenant was taken from all of mankind. What is this covenant? It is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 172. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. And mentioned when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves, saying to them, am I not your Lord? They said, yes, we have testified. So the first mithaq is the Ahd al-Ast, in which all of mankind said that yes, Allah is their Rabb. The second covenant that is mentioned is the one that was taken from the scholars of the people of the book, the scholars of the Bani Israel. And it is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 187, in which Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. And mentioned when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture, saying that you must make it clear to the people. Make what clear to the people? The book of Allah. And you must not conceal it. So this covenant was taken from the scholars of the people of the book. And the third mithaq that is mentioned in the Quran is the one that is mentioned here, and it is also mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab. And what is this covenant? It was the one that was taken from the prophets. It was the one that was taken from the prophets. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 7 also, Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And mention when we took from the prophets their covenant, and from you, and from Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, alayhimu salam, and we took from them a solemn covenant. So what is this covenant? What is this mithaq that was taken from all of the prophets? When was it taken? When was it taken? There are two opinions about this. First of all, it has been said that it was taken in the alamul arwah. Meaning where? Before the people came to the dunya, when all of the souls were created, all of the souls of mankind were gathered, then this mithaq was taken from the prophets among people, from the prophets among human beings. That just as Allah took Ahd al-Ast before the human beings were sent to the dunya, similarly Allah also took this Ahd from all of the prophets. Secondly, it has been said that this promise was taken, this covenant was taken from the prophets in the dunya. Meaning when each prophet was given prophethood, at the same time, the prophet was also made to take this mithaq with Allah, this covenant with Allah. So what are the two opinions? First of all, before coming to the dunya in the alamul arwah, and secondly, as every prophet received prophethood, at the same time, along with the wahi, he was also made to take this mithaq. Now what is this mithaq? Allah says, لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ. Whenever I give you, whenever I send to you, the book and the hikmah. Meaning when you become a prophet, you have the book and the hikmah. Or the people have the book and the hikmah. And then what happens? ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. Then a messenger comes to you. Which messenger is this? Two opinions about that. First of all, it has been said that it refers to the next messenger. It refers to the next messenger. So for instance, Musa alayhi salam was there, and then Harun alayhi salam was also made a messenger at the same time. But he was made a messenger after Musa alayhi salam. Similarly, Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, both of them were contemporaries as well. So if there is a messenger and then the next messenger comes in his lifetime, then what is he supposed to do? The first messenger is supposed to believe and help the second messenger. Why? Because the new messenger has the latest message of Allah, has the latest commands of Allah. He has been sent with the latest mission. So therefore, he must be helped. He must be supported. He must be believed in. Secondly, it has been said that this Rasul refers to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That each messenger, each prophet, was made to promise that he will believe in him and help him. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the last messenger. And if every prophet was made to promise that he was going to believe in him and he was going to follow him, what about the followers of the prophets? Remember that when a prophet takes a mithaq, he takes it on the behalf of his ummah, his people. So if the prophets were made to make this promise with Allah, that when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes, or when the next messenger comes, they're going to believe in him, they're going to follow him, what are the people supposed to do? They are also supposed to believe in the messenger, and follow the messenger, and help the messenger. So over here, this mithaq is mentioned to show that the Bani Israel had no reason to disbelieve in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They had no reason, no excuse. Because Isa alayhi salam, yes, he came, and he also told the people about the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Each Prophet of Allah who came told the people about the coming of the next messenger. And they also told the people about the coming of the last messenger. Remember the Hawariyun, when they believed, what did they say? That they prayed to Allah that waktubna ma'a shahideen, that write us amongst those who are shahideen. Who are the shahideen referring to according to one opinion? Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows that Isa alayhi salam so clearly told them about the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the prophets made this covenant, obviously the followers, what are they supposed to do? When the next messenger comes or when the last messenger comes, they are supposed to believe in him and follow him and help him. Ali radiallahu anhu said, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also said, that Allah never sent a prophet but after taking his pledge that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam were sent in his lifetime, he would believe in him and support him. Every prophet was made to promise that if the last messenger comes in their lifetime, what are they supposed to do? Believe in him and follow him. Why? Because he is the last messenger. No messenger is coming after him. No prophet is coming after him. Hasan al-Basri said that Allah took the pledge from the prophets that they would believe in each other. So what this mithaq means, that all of the prophets were required to believe in all of the prophets as well. That just as our iman is not complete until and unless we believe in all of the messengers of Allah, similarly, all of the prophets were made to believe that they believe in each other. Why? Because the mission is the same. They have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the same mission. So each coming messenger was to be believed in and supported by who? By the followers of the previous messenger. Each new messenger, each coming messenger, was supposed to be believed in by who? Followers of the previous messenger, by the previous ummah. So the Bani Israel could not say that no, we had our Prophet Musa, or the Christians cannot say that we had our Prophet Isa and we don't need Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, you cannot say that. Because every messenger who was sent by Allah must be believed in, must be helped. And especially the last messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Qala aqrartum, he said, meaning Allah said, have you all affirmed? Have you all acknowledged? Aqrartum is from the root letters qaf ra ra, from the word iqrar. Qarar literally means to settle down, and iqrar is to agree with something, to affirm something, to acknowledge something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the messengers, after making them take this mithaq, that have you acknowledged with this? Meaning, are you agreeing with this? Are you going to do this? وَأَخَذْتُمْ, and have you taken, عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ, upon that, O you all, إِصْرِي, my burden, meaning my covenant. The word Isr, as you know, we have read this word earlier as well in Surah Al-Baqarah, at the end of the surah. Isr is literally used for a burden, which makes it difficult for its carrier to walk, to proceed. So it's basically used for a heavy burden. What is it used for? A heavy burden. And from that, the word Isr is also used for a responsibility or a covenant. Why? Because it lays some burden upon you, some restrictions upon you. It is also said that the word Isr literally means to make a knot in something, to tie a knot and forcibly retain something. So for instance, you have a bag and you tie a knot, and what's inside is going to stay inside, right? So similarly, when a person makes a promise, when a person makes a covenant, then he is tied to that. He cannot get out of that responsibility that has been laid upon him, that has been put upon him. So وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. What does it mean by إِصْر over here? The promise, the ahd. Meaning, do you accept my promise as well? Are you going to remain true to this commitment? What did they say? The Prophet said, قَالُوا أَقَرَرْنَا. They said, we have accepted, we have acknowledged, we have agreed. قَالَ, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاشْهَدُوا, then you should bear witness. وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, and I am with you of those who bear witness. Bear witness upon who? Yourselves, and also your ummah, your nations, your people, your followers. That now you have made this promise, that every messenger that is going to come after you, you are going to believe in him, you are going to support him. And by extension, your followers are supposed to do the same. Have you accepted this promise? Are you going to remain true to this commitment? What did the Prophet say? Yes. So Allah said, bear witness. Meaning, make sure you do this. And make sure that you pass this message on to your people as well, so they also believe in and follow the next messenger. وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, and I am with you of those who bear witness. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a witness upon the people. That what do they do? When the messenger comes, do they follow? Or do they say, no, we don't need you? Do they believe? Or do they reject him? So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself testified to this covenant. And this ayah, it gives us a very important lesson. That first of all, the mission of the prophets was the same. All of the prophets brought the same message, which is why all of them were required to affirm each other, confirm the truthfulness of one another. And all of them were to tell their people about the coming of the next messenger. It also shows to us that when the next messenger comes, the sharia of the previous messenger is not going to be followed anymore. Why? Because what does Allah say over here? That when the messenger comes, لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ, meaning when the next messenger comes, you will believe in him and you will also help him. Meaning you're not going to do what you were doing from before. Now you are going to follow the next messenger. Now you're going to follow the next messenger, which is why when Isa alayhi salam came, Yahya alayhi salam was his supporter. Yahya alayhi salam was his supporter. Similarly, we learn that when Isa alayhi salam is going to come again near the Day of Judgment, what's going to happen? Who is he going to follow? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you follow who? The new messenger. Because when Isa alayhi salam is going to come, he's not going to come as a new messenger. He's going to come as a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last messenger. So we see over here that another very important lesson that we learn here is that when the next messenger comes, or when the last messenger comes, two things must be done. Believing in him and helping him. Helping the Prophet. Helping the Prophet with what? With his mission. Because the Prophet has come to deliver a message to the people. And one human being cannot go to every single person on this earth of different places, of different times, and deliver the message. It's not possible for one person. So therefore, the believers have been told that they must be supporters of the Prophet. And the Prophet has suffered a lot of difficulties in conveying the message. So how is it that those people who have received the message, once they have received it, they sit comfortably in their homes, If you look at it, the Prophet ﷺ, every time he received wahi, it was a difficult experience. We learned that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that sometimes he would receive wahi in a cold night and still he would sweat. Imagine, cold night and he would sweat because of the heaviness of the wahi. This is how he received the Qur'an. And we have the Qur'an with us. It's just sitting on our shelves. We are sitting comfortably in our homes, not reading the Qur'an, not spreading the Qur'an. Is this fair? The messenger suffered so much difficulty in receiving the Qur'an, in conveying the Qur'an. And what are we doing? Just sitting back, relaxing? The Prophet ﷺ faced so much difficulty. He suffered from hunger. He suffered from persecution. His uncle Abu Lahab followed him around Makkah. As the Prophet delivered the message, he insulted the Prophet ﷺ. And here we are, sitting back saying, it's not obligatory upon us to serve the deen of Allah, to learn the deen of Allah. He suffered so much, his family suffered along with him. And what are we doing? We say, no, I cannot serve the deen of Allah because I cannot afford that my children, they suffer from hunger or anything like that. Why? Why do we have these double standards? Allah made the prophets promise that when the last messenger comes, they are going to help him. And we, being the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, we say we're not obligated to help him. We're not obligated to help his mission. If we don't help his mission, what's going to happen? What are we supposed to do? Who is going to defend the deen of Allah? There are people who are abusing the Prophet, mocking at the Prophet, insulting the Prophet, and we say, stay quiet. Don't say anything. Just keep your iman in your heart. Keep your iman in your house. And don't tell other people about it. Is this fair? It's not fair. He suffered so much that the message would reach us. The companion suffered so much that the message would reach us. The scholars after them suffered so much that the message would reach us. And what are we doing? The books are lying, collecting dust, and here we are, enjoying ourselves, living a comfortable life, no matter what happens with the deen of Allah. So this ayah shows to us that it's incumbent upon us, it's necessary for us to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how can we help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By helping his mission. He came with the mission to deliver the Quran, and it's our responsibility to do the same as well. If he suffered so much difficulty, we cannot just sit back and relax. It's not fair. It's ingratitude. Someone suffered so much for our sake, and we relax? This is not fair. وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ, and you're definitely going to help him. Also we see that this ayah establishes the importance and great virtue of the Prophet ﷺ. That he was the last messenger. And all of the prophets were made to promise that when he comes, if he comes in your lifetime, what are you going to do? Help him. Because he is the last messenger. فَمَنْ تَوَلَّى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, then whoever turned away after that. After what? After this mithaq. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, then indeed it is those who are the disobedient, who cross the limits. فَاسِقُونَ is a plural of فَاسِق. Now obviously, it cannot be imagined that any of the prophets of Allah would turn away from this mithaq. Can it ever be imagined that a prophet of Allah who made the mithaq with Allah is going to turn away? Is not going to fulfill? It's not possible. So who does it refer to by man tawalla? It refers to the followers of the prophets. That whoever from among the umam of the prophets turn away from what? From helping the next messenger. From helping the last messenger. From believing in the last messenger. Then such people are those who are fasiqoon. And who are the fasiqoon? Those who cross the limits that have been set by Allah. And as we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, that who are the fasiqoon? الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ, those who break the covenant of Allah after making it firm with Him. So after confirming the promise of Allah, what do? They break it. After saying that I am of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not helping the Prophet, not helping his mission. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ, is it other than the religion of Allah that they seek? أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ, what is the deen of Allah? The deen that has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen that was sent by Allah through all of the prophets. from the first to the last. And why is it called the Deen of Allah? Because first of all, it has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been legislated by Allah. Secondly, it also shows the importance and the correctness of this deen. That if Allah is the Khaliq, if Allah is the Malik, if He is the Mudabbir, then obviously what He is going to legislate for you is going to be that which is best for you, is going to be that which is most correct for you. That just as He has made your physical form and He has provided you with sustenance that suits your physical body, that is suitable for your physical body, similarly, He has also legislated the deen for you, which is perfect for you, which is best for you. So it is the deen of Allah. It shows that it is the most correct deen. It is the best deen for all human beings. So Allah questions, أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ? Do these people, do they seek a religion other than that which Allah has legislated, other than that which Allah has sent? يَبْغُونَ is from the root letters, بَغَيْنَ. Who does they refer to? Those people who turn away. The last messenger has come, and he has brought the same deen. So those people who don't believe in this last messenger, what are they looking for? Some other religion? Some religion other than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to him has submitted whoever is in the heavens and the earth. How? طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. Willingly and unwillingly. أَسْلَمَ, Islam, is to submit. And remember, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. First of all, Islam that is kawni. And secondly, Islam that is shari. What is Islam kawni? To submit to Allah in the kawni way. What does kawni mean? That which has to do with the universe. That which has to do with the creation. So for instance, the sun, it does exactly what Allah has commanded the sun to do. The earth does exactly what Allah has commanded the earth to do. The people, in their kawni affairs, they have no choice. If a person gets sick, he doesn't have the choice between health and sickness. No. He has submitted to Allah in the kawni sense. Similarly, when death comes to a person, he doesn't have a choice. So Islam that is kawni, and secondly, Islam that is shari. What is Islam shari? To submit to Allah with regards to the religion of Allah, with regards to the commands of Allah. Okay? Over here Allah says that وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whoever that is in the heavens and the earth has submitted to him. How? Islam kawni? Everyone has submitted. طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. Willingly and unwillingly. Everything in the heavens and the earth is under the law of Allah. Is under the will of Allah. Everything does what Allah has legislated for it. But when it comes to Islam shari, when it comes to submitting to Allah in religion, then there is no kar, then there is no force, because we learned earlier, la ikraha fi din, there is no compulsion in religion. Because you might say, walahu aslama man fi samawati wal ardi taw'an wa karhan, there are so many people who are on the earth, they don't submit to Allah. So what does it mean by this? It means that they don't have any control over the length of their life, over their health and sickness, over their wealth and poverty. They don't have any control. But they have the choice with regards to the deen, and that is not kahan. So, وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجِعُونَ. And to him, all of them will be returned. In this ayah is a reprimand to the human beings. Which human beings? Those who don't submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who reject the deen of Allah. That the entire heavens and earth, the entire creation, has submitted to Allah. Everything has submitted to Allah. You, O human being, why don't you submit to Allah? And if you look at it, you have submitted to Allah in the kawni sense. You have the choice with regards to shari. Why don't you do that? Why don't you submit to Allah in the same way? And with regards to the heavens and the earth submitting to Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, verily I see what you do not see, and I hear what you do not hear. The heaven is creaking, and it should creak, for there is no space in it width of 4 fingers, but there is an angel there prostrating to Allah. So there is a creation of Allah in the dunya, and there is a creation of Allah in the heavens as well, and they have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Isra, ayah 44, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And there is not a thing except that it does tasbih of Allah by His praise, but you do not understand their way of exalting. Everything in the heavens and the earth has submitted to Allah. So, O human being, why don't you submit? When everything submits, why don't you submit? And if you don't submit, how long are you going to stay in this dunya? وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Eventually, you're going to return to Him. Eventually, you're going back to Him. You're not in this dunya alone. So if a person does not accept the commands of Allah, does not follow the commands of Allah, how long is he free for? Just a few days. Just a few years. Eventually, he's going back to Allah. So, in submitting to Allah, is the benefit of human being. And if a person does not submit, he is only harming himself. قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Say that we have believed in Allah. This address is to the Prophet ﷺ and his ummah. That you should proclaim this. That we believe in Allah. What else do we believe in? وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. And whatever that was revealed upon us. What is it that has been revealed upon us? Meaning, what is it that has been given to us? Huh? The Qur'an. As well as the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, whenever Allah says, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا, or something that has been revealed in the Prophet ﷺ, it doesn't just refer to the Qur'an. But it also refers to the hikmah, the sunnah. Because the Prophet ﷺ, مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He never spoke out of his own desire, out of his own whims. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And we also believe in that which was revealed upon Ibrahim ﷺ. Who was Ibrahim ﷺ? Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the prophets. And what was given to him? What scripture was given to him? Suhufi Ibrahim, the scrolls of Ibrahim. وَإِسْمَعِيلْ. And Ismail alayhi salam, who was he? The son of Ibrahim. What was he given? What scripture was he given? We don't know about it, but we believe in it. We don't know about it, but we believe in it. Because all of the prophets came with the same mission. All of the prophets brought the deen of Allah. And whatever they brought, we believe in it, because it's from Allah. Whatever they were given, we believe in it, because it's from Allah. If we believe in the Qur'an, we also believe in whatever Ismail alayhi salam was given. And Ismail alayhi salam, we don't know about the scripture that he was given, but we do know about the fact that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was given the command to slaughter his son, Ismail alayhi salam accepted the decision of Allah. He accepted the command of Allah. And he submitted. وإسحاق. And إسحاق, who was إسحاق alayhi salam? The son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we also believe in whatever he was given. وَيَعْقُوب. Who was Ya'qub alayhi salam? The son of Ishaq alayhi salam. Who else was he? The father of the Bani Israel. And we also believe in whatever was given to وَالْأَسْبَاط. The Asbat. Asbat is a plural of Sibt, from the root letters Sin Bata. And what is Sibt used for? Grandchildren. Primarily it's used for a grandson. And then Asbat is used for not just grandchildren, but descendants. And the term Asbat is used for the tribes of Bani Israel. Qabail, Qabila, is used for the tribes of Bani Ismail. And Asbat is used for the tribes of Bani Israel. And when we say that we believe in whatever was given to the Asbat, what does it mean by that? Whatever was given to the Bani Israel, meaning whatever favors, whatever special blessings were given to Bani Israel. For example, the Man and Salwa. We don't say that, no, that was just something that they made up themselves. No, if Allah has said that He gave them special blessings, special food, we believe in that. Similarly, Asbath also refers to the prophets from among the Bani Israel. The prophets from among the 12 tribes of the Bani Israel. Who does that include? Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam. So wal asbat. Wama utiya Musa wa Isa. And we also believe in whatever that was given to Musa and Isa alayhi salam. Why are these two mentioned separately? Aren't they included in Asbat? Yes, they are. But they're mentioned separately to remind us that they were given the Torah and the Injil. So we believe in that as well. And also if you look, وَمَا أُوتِيَ, whatever Musa and Isa were given. If you notice, previously it was said, وَمَا أُنزِلَ. With regards to the other messengers, it was said, whatever was revealed upon. But with regards to Isa and Musa, what has been said? وَمَا أُوتِيَ, whatever was given. Because Musa and Isa, عليهم السلام, they were not just given revelation. What else were they given? Many miracles. So we believe in all of them as well. One Nabiyun and the prophets, meaning and whatever the prophets were given, مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, from their Lord. Which prophets? The other prophets who are not mentioned here. Who we know of and we don't even know of. Because all of the prophets came with the same mission. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't differentiate between any one of them. Meaning we believe in all of them. We don't differentiate between the messengers how? By believing in some and by disbelieving in others. Rather, we believe in all of them. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And to him, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we submit. If you see the beginning of this ayah, قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, say that we have believed in Allah and whatever was revealed to us. It hasn't been said whatever was revealed after us. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ is the last messenger. And if anyone claims that they are a messenger after him and that they have a book of Allah, they are liars. They are lying. Because it hasn't been said that we also believe in that which was revealed after Muhammad ﷺ. Because there is no such thing. So we learn from this ayah that as Muslims, as believers, we don't just believe in the Prophet who has been sent to us, but we also believe in all of the Prophets of Allah. And with regards to the Prophets of Allah, we believe in them, we follow them, but وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We don't worship the Prophets. We worship only Allah. We believe in the Prophets, we support them, we follow them, but we don't worship the Prophets. What was the mistake of the Ahlul Kitab? They began worshipping the Prophets. But we learn that the Prophets, they taught that people must become Rabbani. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي, and whoever seeks, غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ, other than Islam, دِينًا, as a religion. Whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, he abandons the religion of Islam, and he accepts another religion. فَلَنْ يُقُبَلَ مِنْهُ, then it's never ever going to be accepted from him. It's never going to be accepted from him. Why? Because the only religion that is acceptable to Allah is Islam. The religion that he sent all of the prophets with. So if anyone rejects the deen of Islam, then no other religion is going to be acceptable from him. Which is why we see that if anyone commits an action that is not even of the sunnah, even that action will not be acceptable. Because we are to believe and follow what? What the Prophet ﷺ brought. The religion of Islam. And anything other than that which is not Islam, even if it's an innovation in the name of Islam, it is not acceptable. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever commits an action that does not conform to our matter, meaning to our religion, then it is rejected. So people can invent ways of doing dhikr, of reciting the Quran, but if they are contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet, they're not going to be acceptable. We also learn from this ayah a very important lesson, that the only acceptable religion to Allah is which one? Islam. Which means that the rest of the religions, they're not acceptable. Many people say that everyone is right. Everybody's right. I am right, you're right, we're all right. But how is it possible? How can everybody be right? It's not possible. One has to be right and the rest have to be wrong. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? From the Quran. The only acceptable deen to Allah is Islam. Nothing else but Islam. And many times when we're doing da'wah, We say, okay, fine, you know, you're fine, I'm fine, you're good, you're right, huh? Everybody's right. So when it comes to common terms, we go to such an extent that we forget what the differences are. We forget what the truth is. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And such a person who abandons Islam and adopts another religion will be of the losers in the hereafter. What does it mean by being a loser in the hereafter? Being a loser in the dunya, you can always make up. You can always get help. You can always reform yourself. Things can always change. But if a person is a loser in the hereafter, what does it mean? That he will eternally remain a loser. He will eternally remain a failure. Things cannot change for him then. And who is a loser in the hereafter? What has he lost? In Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 15, we learn, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ Say, indeed, the real losers, who are they? الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ Are the ones who will lose themselves. وَأَهْلِيهِمْ And their families. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of resurrection. أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ Unquestionably, that is a manifest loss. What? To lose yourself and to lose your family. In the dunya, if a person gains a lot of wealth, but if he loses his family, is that wealth going to help him? Is that wealth going to satisfy him? Is it going to please him? No. If a person loses himself, if a person loses his life, is that wealth going to help him? No. The enjoyment is finished. So in the hereafter, when a person has lost himself, and he has lost his family, and he doesn't even have any money left, no dunya left, such a person is the real loser. And how does a person lose himself? That when all of the efforts, all of the deeds that he performed, they carry no weight in the akhirah. They bring him no reward. They bring him no reward whatsoever. So all of his efforts are wasted, his good deeds are not acceptable, his wealth, all of it that he spent in charity is not going to help him in the akhirah. If he tries to bring his wealth in the akhirah to free himself, he's not going to be able to free himself. And his family, if his family come and try to support him on that day, if they try to defend him on that day, they won't be able to defend him. Because on the day of judgment, what's going to happen? A person is going to run away from his family members, from his closest family members. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ So the real loser is the one who loses himself and his family on the Day of Judgment. And a person who leaves the deen of Allah, he will lose himself and everything in the Akhirah. Now just imagine, we have Islam, and there are so many people who don't have Islam. Just imagine, all of their lives, all of their efforts, all of their deeds, their charity, their work, it's not going to bring them any benefit in the akhirah. We have Islam, what should we do? Be proud that we are Muslim and just hide Islam and stay happy and comfortable in our own houses? The messengers, the prophets of Allah, why were they sent? To tell the people about Islam. Because Allah is not going to accept any other religion. We have the message of the prophets. We have the Quran. And we don't help the mission of the prophets? Because we want to be comfortable in our own houses? What kind of thinking is this? There are people who are dying every single day. Every single day, every single minute. And because they're not upon Islam, where are they ending up? Eternal loss. And here we are, with the Quran, being happy, being satisfied, being content in our own houses and not thinking about delivering this message to the people who are around us. Extreme selfishness. Extreme heedlessness. People are suffering eternally. Even in the dunya they're suffering. And we don't care. We want to be comfortable. And if we're made to study the Quran, we don't want to study or we don't put in our effort. Allah has given us the hidayah not just so that we become proud about it. No, so that we deliver it to the rest of the people. And this was the mission of the prophets. And this is the mission that Ummat Muhammad has also been left with. And so we must remind ourselves of our mission and take it seriously. And think about how we're going to deliver the message of Islam to other people. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهِ قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين فمن تولى بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
Do you see the connection between all of these verses? They were revealed in the context of the Ahlul Kitab. And the Ahlul Kitab presented many excuses for not believing. Or they gave many justifications to themselves for not believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of them was the problem of jealousy that they had against him. That just because he's of a different lineage, we're not going to accept him. But we see from these verses that all of the messengers, no matter which lineage they came from, brought the same message. And because he's a messenger, he must be believed in. He must be followed. And if you're rejecting Islam, are you trying to seek another religion? Are you trying to seek a religion other than that which Allah has given? If you do so, it's not going to be acceptable. Yesterday we learned they would tell other people that don't confirm anyone, don't believe in anyone, except for the one who is of your religion. Except someone who is of your tribe, of your clan, of your lineage. So this thinking that they had, that we don't need to believe in him, we don't need to follow him, is being refuted in these verses. And the problems, the reasons as to why they develop this thinking, they are also being highlighted so that we take a lesson. And we take our deen seriously as well. And Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana, that every day we are given a new life. Every day. And there are so many people who slept the previous night and they're not going to wake up. They're gone. This day that I have been given, let me take my deen seriously. Let me pass the message on. Because tomorrow, somebody else is not going to wake up.